Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Great American Senior Show. I'm your gray-haired host, Sam Yates. In our previous episode, we had our guest that we're going to feature again today here talking about the final journey that many, many people can now take a different avenue to that end of life resting place. And it's literally returning people to the soil from where we came. For many people, they are deeply rooted, no pun intended, in those beliefs. So we have with us again today, Katie Houston. Katie is the services manager for Return Home. And we have Micah Truman. Micah is the CEO of Return Home. Micah, give us a capsule report of what it is that you do, and then I want to go into some details.
Sure. And thank you very much for having us. We're delighted to be here. The process is, we call it Terramation. It's a 60-day process. And again, the reason that we do this is to make sure to let people make their last act on this planet one that gives back to it. And we're obviously really committed to that. Our process is what we call an in-vessel system. So it's a vessel. It's individual. One body goes into it. And we fill the vessel with organics at a 3-to-1 ratio of organics to body weight. So a 200-pound body would have about 600 pounds of organics, which is quite a bit of material. The organics are alfalfa, straw, and sawdust, and we mix it all up. A base layer of organics is placed in the vessel. The body is placed above it, and then the rest of the vessel is filled with the remainder of the organics. Oxygen runs through the system into the technology that we've developed into our large air moving HVAC system. And it's quite remarkable. Last week, we placed the body in on Friday, and it is currently at 158 degrees. The body rises to temperature incredibly, north of 150, which is extremely hot, and with almost no outside power. This is simply an aerobic process, the use of oxygen. What happens is the bulking agent heats up, which in turn heats up the body, and the microbes in the body become super active. And they, in turn, the microbes in our body are there to digest the food we eat, but they're also there to transform us, to take us back to the earth. It's what nature intended. We take the microbes in the body and we put them on hyperdrive. 30 days into the process, the body, for all intents and purposes, is completely gone. There is some bone left, which is very similar to cremation. We reduce that bone, we reintroduce it to the soil, we let the soil sit for one more month for a total of 2 months, and when we're done, we have a sweet-smelling soil that we can give to the family, and they can place wherever they want. So it's kind of cool.
Well, I don't want to sound gross, but during that process of turning someone into soil, is there an odor, or is there anything that you can tell if you are near that vessel?
We have developed technology that eliminates odor completely. It's probably the most important thing we have to do. If we had odor in our facility, it would be lights out for Return Home. So we're very assiduous about it. So the short answer is no, we don't have odor. And it's a really cool place, and it's a place that people come and visit. So no, we've controlled that.
The technology that has gone into this sounds fascinating. Tell me how you got to this process. How did you get here from thinking of this and actually doing the research to where you are today?
Yeah, we sort of assembled an Ocean's 11 team. We have a really cool, very, very widely skilled team that built this. So funeral directors, electrical engineers, composting experts, HVAC experts, general contractors, architects, soil scientists, did I say funeral directors and embalmers? The whole crew sort of came in here to build this, and it required contribution from everyone to do it. And ultimately, what we built was not just a technical system, which exists, but also a place that gives solace and comfort to the families that come to us. So really, we're really excited about what we created. But it was to put it mildly, a multidisciplinary effort.
The vessel itself, what is it? Is it because this is audio only. Someone may think of the vessel as something like a coffin, but what is the vessel?
Well, the vessel is made of a polycarbonate and it's 8 feet long by 3.5 feet high by 3.5 feet wide. It's big. And it's very strong and it holds heat. It's insulated. It has an ability to move air out of the top of it to suck oxygen in from the bottom and to move it out the top. And then it has a number of devices that we use to monitor it because we never open the vessel once we've placed the body inside it until the body has completely terminated. So it's a very technical thing, but it's also one that is, I think, very comforting to the families. They decorate it, they visit, many families come, there are families that come every day. So it's both a technical thing that we use, obviously, to run our process, but it's also something that gives the families, I think, a great deal of comfort.
When we think of composting something, a lot of folks are going, and the reason for the question, a lot of folks may think that you're composting, are you turning the body, or what are you, the body is doing what? Just composting?
Well, it's interesting, and it is composting. You're absolutely right. But I like the word transformation. We're transforming because we really are. We are going back to the earth. In our case, especially for the first 3 weeks, we don't need to do anything. The body simply stays there. After 3 weeks, we do gently rotate the vessel. And the reason we rotate it is we want to just spread moisture and make sure that everything is even inside the vessel for one rotation. And that after that 1 week, we're done. So there's almost nothing done to the body. And again, I think I'd said it earlier, we never open the vessel. So it's extremely gentle and very non-invasive. And at the end of that first month, the body is transformed.
How did you come up with 1 month? I mean, no trial and error, not done yet. I mean, how did you come up with 1 month time frame?
You want to try kidding? That's a good, I like that one. Hang on, wait, let's take a look at this.
Pigs is the answer. We did a lot of testing on pigs because we figured if you can terramate a pig, you can certainly terramate a person. They are incredibly dense animals and they have a thick skin. So we tested on pigs and came up with 30 days.
Then the second 30 days, how did you come up with that time frame?
The second 30 days, we knew all these things were not ones we went, I want it in 30 days. We went, let's run this process to the best of our ability and see the timing. 30 days was what allowed us to transform the body. And the second 30 days is really interesting. It's very congruent. It's very similar to what we do with regular compost. It's soil, it's done, but it needs to rest and breathe. It's off, it's breathing a fair amount of CO2. It's still got some heat. And all we do in that second month is let that compost settle and cool down like any other composting process. So it was really the testing that we did that allowed us to figure that all out. But we got very, very good at it before we went to human bodies.
You said earlier the soil itself has a sweet smell. Is that just a natural process?
Yes. It does have a sweet smell and it is a natural process. And I think the thing that people say more than anything is, holy cow, like, I can't believe that this transformation is so profound. And the answer is, it is. We really do transform.
Does the soil have, and I'm just thinking out loud, someone takes the soil home, they want to put it in a garden. Any adverse effect of gardening with the soil? And I know that sounds gross to some people, but if it's their soil, they can sort of do what they want to with the soil, couldn't they?
Yeah. You're not going to be able to tell that it's any different from any other compost you're using in the garden. Families can use it exactly how they please. We generally don't recommend growing vegetables. But rose gardens, mom's favorite tulips, whatever they see fit.
The only thing that we say is that you can't use large amounts. It's not like soil where you make a mound of it and plant a tree in it. It's a soil amendment. So the only problem you'd have is that it's so nutritionally dense that if you put a giant pile of it, you'd probably have some issues growing. So put 2-3 inches on the soil, either leave it there or till it in. And that's the only limit that we would do. It's just very, very nutritionally dense.
The vessels themselves, then you have had someone in for 60 days. The soil is taken out, the remains is taken out, the terramains, our terramation results, they're taken out. What happens to the vessel then to prepare it? Just I'm trying to visualize this for our audience.
Mm-hmm. It's very important, right? At our heart, we're trying to make this as environmental a process as we can. We carefully clean the vessel. We don't use toxic materials, but we make sure it's absolutely clean. And the vessel is reusable for a long time. So this is not a disposable product that we've made. This is something that can stand the test of time.
Do you have a waiting list?
No, we're still growing. We have 74 capacity, a vessel, 74 vessel capacity. We've been open for 4 months and we've helped 30 families. And we see that it's going to keep growing, but no, we are able to serve families as they come to us.
Expansion plans. You've mentioned that you're one of only three in the country. You're the largest in the world. Do you envision expanding to other parts of the country with remote facilities?
Absolutely. Oregon and Colorado are, of course, there. And we're also capable of serving the surrounding states. I know Massachusetts is currently discussing it. So I think we will be following legislation as it's approved. So unequivocally, yeah, we're going to be moving across the country as demand increases and as legislation is approved state by state. Totally.
I know that just from a standpoint of available land for cemeteries, it's becoming non-existent. Is this one of the solutions to the disappearing land available for cemeteries?
Yes. I like to think of it as urban green burial. It allows someone to go back to somewhere they want to be without perpetually taking up land for cemetery use and potentially being toxic to that ground.
You do have, earlier in our previous episode, you mentioned an eight acre green belt not too far from your facility. How many people opt for having their loved one rest in that 8 acre green belt? And is that something that the area there is going to be perpetual or it's not going to be developed?
Yes, that area can never be developed, and the area around it cannot be developed either. And it is right by a trailhead that we can give families information on so that they can kind of walk past the area and know that their person is there and contributing to the local environment there. I have been surprised at how many people take the entire amount of their person's compost home. For some reason, I imagined that they would be shocked by the amount and not do that, but they are taking a lot of it. And then there's also people that donate the entire amount to our greenbelt area. So it's really up to the family and their response to it and donating and wanting to give back to land in perpetuity has been wonderful to watch.
Well, how do you handle the cost on this? And I guess part of that question is it covered by insurance as far as a burial expense?
Yes. If you have burial insurance or a pre-arrangement policy, it is covered. Our cost is $4,950, inclusive of a death certificate in Washington state. We do add on the travel expenses if you're out of state, and we do partner with funeral homes all over the country so that they can offer it to their families through us also. So in our area, it's very comparable to a cremation with a small memorial service. It's considerably less than traditional burial. So we're kind of right in the middle there.
The remains, once they are turned into Mother Earth, how do they transport them home? Are there any guidelines or restrictions on how to take that 400, 500, 600 pounds of remains away? Is there a certain criteria they have to do? How do they get it home?
So we package everyone in burlap sacks adorned with a leaf-shaped tag with their name and information on it, a metal tag that is stamped. And the family can transport that home in any vehicle they wish. It is much the same as cremated remains in that there's no permit or anything needed to take that person home. We've had people come with trucks. We've had people fit the entire amount in the back of their Subaru. However they can possibly do it.
Fascinating. Fascinating. When someone comes into or wants to bring someone into the facility, what are the requirements, the documentation? I tend to be a nerd about that too. What do they have to come to show you that this is a legitimate person and they can do what they want to with the remains?
So they would have to either be in state, or if they're from out of state, they would need a funeral home to file a death certificate and give them a permit so that they can travel with their person. If they are in state, they would just have hospice or the hospital or the police department, depending on the circumstances, call us and let us know that this person passed away and that their family was going to bring them to us.
I know we also talked about the cost, and you know, this seems like it's in a mid-range. Is that a selling point, or is it more the dignity and respect and return to earth, which or a combination?
Our experience is that we are mid-priced. We're not hugely expensive. Our price is $4,950. It's a lot cheaper than burial. It's slightly more expensive than cremation. We don't find that's the major sticking point for the families who really, really want to do this. That's not their primary driver. I think for the folks that really want to do this, it really is about something that just feels right to them and gives the love that they feel they need to their family member. But I think that there are those that might find that expensive and might opt for something more, you know, more a little cheaper, like low-end cremation. But for the most part, I think that it's not a price issue for those that love this.
Mike, I have to ask, how did you come upon this idea? What helped get you into Return Home?
Well, you and I talked earlier, right? I was in a business that was a very different one. And I'm in my middle years. And one of the things that really began to preoccupy me was I build businesses. It's what I know how to do. But if we're building businesses that are environmentally problematic and we're trying to scale them, we're essentially trying to infinitely grow in a finite world. And that is suicide. And my focus became, how do we build a company that's an amazing company that can grow like crazy? And the more it grows, the better off the world is for it. And ultimately, it was Return Home that was the answer. And so we're really excited about that. This is something that we think the better, you know, the bigger we get, the better the world is for it. And I think that's what grabbed me and took me forward.
Business question. Are you looking to have people invest in this and take it nationwide or worldwide? Are you looking at that potential of investors?
A really interesting question. On around January 10th of this coming month, we will be opening up to investors on a platform called Start Engine, which allows smaller investors to come in and take part in our investment round. So the answer is absolutely yes. And we would love for you listeners to come check us out and see our offering on January 10th on Start Engine. We're going to be raising $1.07 million.
Well, I certainly want to thank you for being here. Before I go and before we wrap it up, as a reporter, one of my final questions always is there anything else that you would like to add to contribute to the understanding of what you do and how you do it?
Anything else you'd like to add?
I would like to add that I think anyone who makes an informed decision about their end-of-life choices is doing a good thing, whatever their choice may be informed and do it with love.
And mine is, and you'd made an earlier mention of this, sometimes people don't want to talk about this. And it's not always just because they go, oh, you know, I don't like this particular disposition method. Usually it's because people don't want to talk about dying. And I think it's an important discussion to have. And I think we should have it. And I know it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable for me either. But I think it is a necessary thing that we should be doing with the people we love.
Well, I'm sure that this is going to have a lot of people talking and also looking to see how to contact you. What should they do? Website?
Yeah, our website is returnhome.com. Very simple. We have both a phone number and an email contact page. So feel free to use either. We're absolutely reachable and we always respond same day. So we'd love to hear from your listeners.
Thank you both. Our special thanks today to Katie Houston and Micah Truman of Return Home. Awesome concept. I really have talked to people who have, you know, questions, and as I talk to them and as they have listened about this process, they are believers in making a life cycle of, I think, something that was very close to Walt Whitman's thoughts. And I'm going to close our program today with the thought from Walt Whitman that I started episode one with, and that is, I bequeath myself to the dirt to grow from the grass I love. If you want me again, look for me under your boot soles. You will hardly know who I am or what I mean, but I shall be good health to you nonetheless. And I want to thank all of you for listening. We definitely try to bring in the topics that are unique, that are special, and are designed for our senior audiences and those who take care of seniors throughout the United States, and as our program now is reaching into 18 countries from around the world. I'm Sam Yates, your gray-haired host for the Great American Senior Show. That's how our program ends.